This is FST Fantasy Sports Today, coming at you live from right here inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. I'm Chris Meany. Lots to get to today. Happy Friday. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. Colin Mina, he's the host of Shot Callers, which you can check on YouTube. Of course, check that out. He's going to teach me a lot about esports. I follow sports, but esports, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys. Esports, I have a lot to learn. Colin Mina knows a lot about it. So we'll talk about some games happening tonight and Saturday. He has a lineup. Really going to pick his brain for esports and help you guys out there if you're looking to make some cash for the weekend. Plus, we have the lead fantasy writer over at MLB.com. It's Fred Zinke, and he just wrote an article. It's really cool. Statcast Studs and Duds. It's just another wicked cool fantasy baseball stat where you can just get the edge on your opponent. That's what it's all about, determining breakout performances, maybe a bust. We'll talk about that article in a little bit, but first, just some news and notes off the top, and we'll start in the NFL. Jordy Nelson practiced yesterday without pads on. He is a game-time decision to go up against the Atlanta Falcons. In fact, everybody in the Packers, really wide receiver core, a game-time decision. Davante Adams also a game-time decision. But I read some reports yesterday. Mike McCarthy had said that if it was a regular season game, Adams, Nelson, and Allison, all three of them would not play. Allison dealing with a hamstring injury. Adams dealing with an ankle injury. Not expected, you know, really to even touch the football field until Sunday. Maybe he'll go through a walkthrough on Saturday. But I do expect him to play, but most certainly he's not going to be 100% in that football game. And then I don't expect Jordy Nelson to play either. I actually think the Atlanta Falcons are just going to steamroll, but they do have an injury as well on their side. As you see Jordy Nelson, I mean, what a fantastic season from him. 14 touchdowns, missed him last week. I mean, I know he wants to get out there in the field, but he's dealing with a couple fractured ribs. It's really tough to play the game of football that way. Julio Jones did not practice on Thursday, insists he will play, dealing with the toe injury. He's been bothered by that injury, you know, for a few weeks now. Even last week, he left the football game for just a little bit on the sidelines, but I expect him to play through this, and he even says he will play through this injury, and he's going to be a big factor in this football game. I just like all the weapons right now going for Atlanta. They just seem a little bit more healthy, despite Julio being dinged up with that toe injury. Ladarius Green practiced earlier in the week, but didn't practice on Thursday, dealing with a concussion. It's basically not even been the whole year for him. It's been most of his career, unfortunately, dealing with the concussion-like symptoms. I don't expect him to play in this football game, and there's really no word. Mike Tomlin says we'll just see what happens. Look for Jesse James, who's really cheap on DraftKings if you're looking to play DFS this weekend. 6 targets, 5 grabs, 83 yards last week against Kansas City. And you know Big Ben, he loves his tight ends. He loved Heath Miller a lot, and that's why we like Ladarius Green so much heading into the season. But Jesse James could step up. He could be a sneaky play. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the Major League Baseball, and let's talk about that league. And Mark Trumbo, finally, he signed. At the start of the year, he wanted $40 million. He couldn't get it, and they finally agreed to a 3-year, $37.5 million deal. So they argued for about 2 months over $2.5 million. Nonetheless, Mark Trumbo, he led the league last year in home runs, and I'm in a current mock right now, 15-team mock on Roto Experts, where he was pick number 97 in the 6th round. What a steal. 47 home runs, continues. He's going to play in Baltimore inside that division. He's not going to get you a great average. You see 256. That's what I expect. I think he's going to hit another 40 home runs. His expert consensus ranking on Fantasy Pros is outfielder number 27. I have him at 17. It goes Stanton, JD Martinez, Polanco, Trumbo for me, then Myers and McCutcheon. If you're looking for cheap power, I don't understand why nobody wants to give this guy the credit. Maybe in that mock that I'm in, it's because he didn't have a team and people were uncertain where he was going to go. It doesn't matter. He's been able to hit home runs his whole career. So go ahead and draft Trumbo, and you don't have to draft him as early as I have him in the rankings, but if you're missing out on power in the first couple rounds of your draft, he's a great option for you. Let's switch gears again. Another sport to the association, the NBA. Before I get to some injuries here, yesterday all 10 starters were announced for the NBA All-Star Game, and all 10 have a combined 19 triple-doubles. Russell Westbrook, he's got 21 triple-doubles. He's averaging a triple-double. He is not there. He's not the starting point guard for the Western Conference. That, to me, is a joke. Nonetheless, let's get to some injuries. Paul Gasol, fractured fourth. He's dealing with a fracture in his hand. Metacarpal is the word I'm looking for. You know what? He's been fairly disappointing this season. A lot of rumbling in the office. So what do I do with Gasol? He's a big name. Should I drop him? He's just been disappointing. Keep an eye on the situation. There's no timeline right now, but Greg Popovich is saying that he's out indefinitely. Look for maybe David David Lee to step up. I don't think he's immediate add in a deeper league, maybe a DFS play. He played a season-high 33 minutes yesterday when Gasol left. He had a double-double, 10 points, 16 boards. It's his second double-double this season. And last year, we picked him up at times for the Dallas Mavericks when a lot of people were hurt on that roster. He can step in and help you out a little bit. So keep an eye on that situation. Ricky Rubio did not play the second half of yesterday's game due to a hip injury. It's not considered serious, but Ricky Rubio has been injured most of his career in the NBA. Maybe Chris Dunn can step up, even though he's had opportunities this year to step up when Rubio and Zach LaVine were out, and Zach LaVine's a little bit dinged up too. So and Chris Dunn has been disappointing, so I wouldn't go that way. Still, Austin Rivers is somebody that we've talked about a lot lately. McConnell from the Philadelphia 76ers is somebody who's getting a lot of assists. I know Ben Simmons is close to returning, but I wouldn't worry about that because I'm almost certain that he's going to be on a minute restriction when he returns, probably in March. So there's a couple guys that you can go and get some assists from if you do have Ricky Rubio. And finally, the last sport before we get to esports, the NHL. And Tyson Barrie is day-to-day with a lower body injury suffered yesterday against the Anaheim Ducks. And Tyson Barrie has been really disappointing this season, much like almost everybody in that Colorado roster. But if you're playing with plus-minus, he's a league-worst minus 23. So if you're playing in fantasy hockey and he's your defenseman and you're playing with that category, I mean, honestly, I would just drop him. If you're playing with straight-up points and power play points, you see he's got 7 there, he's got 20 assists. The numbers are not bad. 23 points is not bad from a defenseman. It's pretty good considering, you know, some of the top Colorado Avalanche players are just not showing up so far this season. So if you do have Barrie on your roster, you go ahead and keep him. If you want, if you don't have plus minus, that's the straw to me. If you have plus minus in your league, you just go ahead and you just cut him and you look elsewhere. Maybe Trouba is a guy, Nathan Beaulieu is someone, Andre Markov, another setback. So there's some options out there that you can go ahead and pick up. Jake Gardner's another one. Esports League of Legends, DFS. There's some games tonight, there's some games tomorrow. Colin Mina's in here next. Trust me, you're gonna want to stick around. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meany, Colin Mina. Hopefully you stuck around to watch some esports here. Look at the sheets this guy has.
Well, I'm ready to go,
so much
Chris.
Research in esports. Okay, NL and NA LCS. I already butchered it.
Hey, NA, it's okay.
LCS. Here we go. Esports tonight. There's a couple games, but before we get to them, just a refresher from me and some people at home about how the game works on DraftKings. What are you looking for when you're putting together some lineups and just touch on some of the scoring?
All right, so just a little refresher because maybe, I don't know, you're watching, you've never played or it's been a while.
Yes.
It's been a while. So first off, you're going to get points. Kills, 3 points. Assists, 2 points. Death, minus 1 point. Ooh. Creep score, which if you don't know, you see these little guys running around. Each time they kill one of those, it's not a lot of points. 0.02.
But basically, but it all adds up.
Yeah, it all adds up because you end up getting multiple hundreds of points with creep score because you're getting a lot. By the end of the game, this game could go an hour, it could go 20 minutes. You don't know. So basically, you're going to look for people that are high on the kill, low on the death, obviously. And you want a lot of assists. Some supports, they're... Supports are supports. Yeah. They go for the assists. But some of them are kamikaze supports. They like to go in, dive, help their team. They get a lot of assists, but they get a lot of deaths. You lose points more than you gain. So you kind of want to look for the overall player that's going to be mid-ground. He's going to be... You could go for the guys who are going to do really good, but yeah, you want that guy that's going to be in the middle. He's getting you points, but he is dying a little bit because you're going to die.
Okay.
So all you right. want that middle ground. You want a guy who can do it all.
All right. Do it all. I like that. Touch them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It translates.
Oh, baby. Touch them all. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. It was a good show. Okay. So let's talk about Friday's games. There's just a couple games. So What are you looking for Friday? And also, because the season is just starting and you're saying it's hard to tell if games are going to be long, but I guess you'll get a feel for it as the season goes on and what teams like have longer games or no?
No. It all depends on who's playing each other because you get... We'll touch on it in a little bit, but You get a scrub team playing one of the best teams, it's going to be a wash 9 times out of 10.
So maybe a game that you most likely avoid?
You can usually tell. Now, that's the thing. Just because it's an amazing team, if they're playing a bad team, you could lose points because the game goes by so fast and nobody's really scoring anything. So you kind of want to find that middle ground. For instance, on Friday, we got 2 games. Cloud9 TSM is a game that I'm going to stay away from because these are 2 heavy hitter teams. And coming into this new season, they're the teams that are looking, they're going to be the top 2.
Yep.
So you don't want to kind of pick them early on because you still don't know exactly how it's going to go, who's going to win. It's going to kind of be wishy-washy.
Okay.
Then also we have Echo Fox and Phoenix One. It's another, on the opposite spectrum, it's two of the bottom of the barrel teams who,
ooh,
hey, got some viz, look at us, pumped. So Echo Fox, Phoenix One.
Getting shot up there.
Those little guys that you see, those are the creeps I was talking about. Now you're not going to get a lot of points for getting them, but enough of them adds up. So that's another game that I would kind of stay away from, but I'm really going to watch that game because if Echo Fox or Phoenix One, either or, kind of steamroll and look like they're coming hot out of the gate, that's going to be good for motivation for Saturday, and that might change up my lineup a little bit.
Oh,
and
okay.
Hey, speaking of good transition here.
Good transition. This guy knows what he's doing. Host of Shot Callers. Let's bring up his lineup. You have one for Saturday DraftKings.
Yes, I do.
The only name that I can pronounce on there is Balls. It's $5,400 in your flex spot.
So Balls is going to be kind of my, I don't want to say risque, but he's on Fly. Fly was Cloud9's challenger team, for if you don't know. It was kind of like their farm team.
Okay.
Well, Cloud9 already has a team in the big leagues, so they had to change. They're now Fly. So Balls, he's going to be my flex pick. Let's go up to the top, though. Darshan, top, CLG. Xsmithy, he's going to be jungle, CLG as well. You're going to see a pattern here.
Yes.
Hoo-Hee, mid, CLG. Stixxay, 80 carry, CLG. And then support, I'm switching it up. It's kind of a value play. So was Balls, but Balls I can see getting points. Xspecial is more so of a, I spent money everywhere else, so I kind of make up for it with the cheap support. But also, he is a very strong support. If you look on rankings top five, he is the fifth support overall in North America. So he's not a bad pick, even though it's going to be a tough matchup. But again, like I said, depending on how Phoenix One does, this could change up my lineup, and I might want to mix up Xspecial for maybe a Phoenix One support.
Yeah, so what will happen? If Phoenix One does good tonight, you will want to get some in your lineup?
If Phoenix One just destroys Echo Fox, now again, Echo Fox is bottom of the barrel. So it all depends on how they play. Hey, follow me on Twitter. I'll keep you updated. But if Phoenix One just destroys...
You want to share your Twitter handle?
Oh, Colin Mina.
Oh, it's just that
simple,
easy.
That easy.
Okay,
no one else has that name. Come on.
Nobody.
But if they do really good, I might switch up Dig, because Dig and P1 is going to be the closest kind of... I think Dig's just going to wash them, just destroy them. But you never know. This is the kind of thing, early season,
yeah,
a new team coming in... We don't know how good they're going to do when it comes to the big leagues. Maybe they do horrible, and then, yes, Dig is going to be the better choice.
Who is the one player in this lineup that you feel you'll just keep no matter what happens tonight? The one you're most confident.
The one I'm most confident? I'm going to say Darshan. I might switch him out for someday, but Darshan is a little bit cheaper. He's third overall. He's a very good top lane. And CLG, they're a good team. They're third ranked. Team Liquid, they're also a very good team, but they're not up to CLG standards as far as I'm thinking right now. And like I said, the two first games on Friday are going to determine Saturday, as well as, depending on how these games go Saturday, I could completely change my Sunday lineup. That's why I didn't give a Sunday lineup for today.
Okay, fair. Are there any teams that you're just trying to keep an eye on? You mentioned there's some new teams, new players, new squads. You got to obviously feel it out in the first couple of weeks and see how they do. But is there any teams that are on your radar you want to keep a close eye on?
I got a couple. First off, I'm going to say Immortals. Used to be my boys. If you watch Shot Callers, you know I was a big fan. My boy Wild Turtle, Canadian player, just got moved.
Yeah, I remember Wild Turtle.
And here we go here. Just Immortals destroying. They are not, sadly, going to be what they once were. Immortals lost everybody except for one boy. He's Pobelter. Great mid laner. He is amazing, but can one person carry the whole team to victory? If you were great, just because you were great, you have a whole new team. The coaches are still there. The mid laner's still there. It doesn't mean you're still going to be great again. They're probably going to finish in like top four end of spring split. But again, this is why we're watching them, because you never know. Maybe they just got that, okay, we were the best. We're a new team. We have to keep that title as the best. Maybe that's enough to just pump them through. They got good players. So it depends how they play as a team.
They're minus 8,000 favorites to beat Echo Fox. That's crazy.
It's understandable as how bad Echo Fox is and how good Immortals was. But again, new teams. Echo Fox has a whole new roster as well. They're hoping to do something this year, which Echo Fox's record, not the best. So we're hoping to watch Echo Fox and see them do great against Immortals. I think that's a bit of a crazy number. I'm going to put some money down on Echo Fox because why not with that big of a number. But Immortals, again, they're not going to be as good as they were, so we'll see. Those two teams definitely to watch.
All right, Colin Mina, host of Shock Callers. If you were intrigued, make sure you check it out on YouTube. Give Mina a follow as well. Thank you, buddy, and good luck with your lineups. And I will be playing this one for sure, and we'll get you back on next week to hold you to
it. Oh, baby.
All right, Fred Zicke's in here next. We're going to talk some baseball, Major League Baseball. Stick around. Welcome back inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. This is FST. I am Chris Meany. Thanks to Colin Mina for talking about some esports, something I know very little about, and something I know a little bit more about is baseball. And I'm so excited to bring on the lead fantasy writer over at MLB.com. Fred Zinke joins us right now to talk about an article he just wrote about StatCast, finding studs and duds. Just a new data, Fred, I guess that just allows us to kind of take a look at, you know, players who maybe will break out or bust. Maybe last year was a little fluky. So let's talk about this article, Fred. And one of the players that's so intriguing to me is Nelson Cruz, 36 years old. As you wrote about in the article, which can be found on MLB.com, you talked about as the only player in baseball over the past 3 years to hit 40 home runs. And every year, people want to doubt him a little bit more. Can he have another 40 home run season in your mind?
I think he could. I feel like I'm sticking up for Cruz, you know, all the time lately. But yeah, I think that's totally possible. When we look at the StatCast data for Cruz from last season, he led the majors in average exit velocity. So he's still, you know, really hitting the ball hard on a consistent basis. And you look at what David Ortiz did last season at his advanced age. Fantasy owners, I think, sometimes have a bad habit of just projecting like a traditional career arc. You go up until your late 20s and then you start to decline. Not everyone follows that path. And Cruz seems to be someone who's really holding his skills well late in his career.
Is Cruz going to be somebody that you want to target in drafts? You feel like as of right now, he's going in the right spot for you to pick him, especially if you want home run power?
Yeah, I think he's going a little bit late. I think people are building in some age-related regression. And if people are projecting him for 33, 34 home runs, you know, I'll take the over on that. And if he doesn't get to 40, I could see high 30s. You know, if you can get Cruz, you know, round 3, round 4, I think that's really nice value.
One of my favorite players is Kendrys Morales. I just love the fact that in one game he hit a home run from both sides of the plate. He hit 30 home runs last year for the first time since 2009. Now he goes to hitter-friendly Rogers Center inside a great ballpark, a great division. What's your expectations and what has the data shown you with Kendrys Morales?
Yeah, some really encouraging stuff with Morales, and I think the fantasy owners give him too much of a hard time. You know, he had that one really bad season, I think it was 2014, but it was a really muddled year for him. He held out. He didn't join, you know, a major league team until June, and he just never really got going. 2015, he was good. 2016, he was better. He was among the major league leaders last year in both average exit velocity and average fly ball distance. So now you take someone like that who's hitting the ball far, who's hitting the ball hard, you take them out of Kauffman Stadium, you put them into Rogers Center. I don't think that he can beat last year's numbers. He was really good last season, but his StatCast data makes me think that he could at least maintain those now that he's in a better environment.
Fred, one of the most intriguing players a couple seasons ago was Christian Yelich. Everyone thought, okay, you know, a great high ball rate. He's going to turn it up. You know, he's getting a little bit older. And then he disappointed people. And then last year, a lot of people were down on him in a career-high 21 home runs. He seems like he's a great breakout candidate. Do you see that with him?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it's going to be up to Yelich as far as his approach. We typically see hitters try to work towards doing the things that they do best as often as possible. Yelich's a really odd guy. He led the majors last year in average fly ball distance. So that's a pretty awesome stat for a guy who wants to hit for power. But he also is one of the most ground ball heavy hitters in baseball. So he can hit for power, but he's, I guess, not totally choosing, but a little bit choosing his approach to often put the ball on the ground. If he can keep working towards it, he's made some strides in this direction. If he can put a few more balls in the air, you know, with the way he hits fly balls and the way that he hits for power, we could see him quickly go to 25 or 30 home runs without losing batting average. He's not someone who has to sell out for power. He's someone who naturally hits for power. He's just got to put the ball in the air a little more often.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you with Cruz. Is he a target of yours? Because I know doing a few mocks, he's going fairly early and a lot of people want him.
Yeah, I'd say he's not totally a target for mine. I'm not going to let him slip. There are a lot of people that really want him. I guess what I found, you know, looking at the data with him is the people who are projecting a breakout, they're on the right track. This isn't someone who sometimes, as I said with Cruz, we get on that career arc projection and someone just sees him, you know, improving and getting older and says, oh, he's not going to automatically get better. With him, the data shows that in this case, they're probably right.
When you're looking at the data, was there a player who really jumped out at you and was like, whoa, the numbers don't add up. This is somebody who's going to maybe be a bust and you just want to stay away from come draft day?
Yeah, Didi Gregorius, like he broke out last season. He was with the Yankees. I guess it all makes sense. He's in Yankee Stadium, hitter-friendly park and everything. You know, 20 home runs, 70 RBIs, solid batting average. But when I looked at him, he was among the lowest in baseball in average fly ball distance and average exit velocity. So this is someone who last year wasn't consistently hitting the ball hard. It kind of indicates that maybe he was getting a little bit lucky. Since last year is a bit of an outlier for him in as far as production, and his Statcast data doesn't really back it up, there's a pretty decent chance that we see him fall back towards maybe 15 home runs and 60 RBIs, something like that. That'll pull the batting average down a little bit too. I would be a little wary of him. Final round, fine, but I'm not targeting him as my mixed league shortstop.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, if you're playing in a deep league, a 14-team, 16-team, and you're playing with middle and corner infielders, is he somebody that if he was going in the last round, would you be fine with that? Or is it just somebody that you just say, nah, I just don't want a piece of him?
Yeah, I guess I would take him in the last round. I think if I start to notice, though, like if I'm going to project someone like Gregorius at his age to drop 20-25% in home runs, maybe 15-10% in RBIs, he just won't end up on my team because somebody's going to look at his age and his production and from last year in his home park and project him to be just as good or better.
Fred, since we're talking about the Yankees, they're always such an intriguing team, and we saw last year. I thought that they did really well last year in just turning over some talent, old talent, getting some young guys in. Gary Sanchez, a phenomenal second half from him, unbelievable. I just want to know your strategies for catchers when you're drafting them. Do you want to take a shot on Gary Sanchez? Because it seems like he's just going so early. I don't know if I'm buying in completely.
Yeah, I like taking catchers early. As a general strategy, that's mine. Okay. I don't think he'll be my catcher. I'm more likely to try to take Buster Posey earlier than Sanchez, but Posey's value is a little depressed this season. I would probably take the safety of Jonathan Lucroy, especially now that he's in the AL, over Sanchez. I mean, Sanchez's home run to fly ball percentage last year was like 40%. You just can't maintain that. I think Sanchez is a good young player, 25 home runs, maybe 27. I think he's kind of your number three fantasy catcher. I'm not against owning Sanchez at all. I'd be happy to have him, but at the point where I would draft him, I think someone else will take him higher, expecting 30-plus home runs. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, and that's what I've seen so far, and I love that you mentioned Lucroy. He's definitely a target of mine. Before we get you out of here, Trevor Story is also somebody that you wrote about, and a lot of flack with Trevor Story last season. He came on strong. It's like when Jose Reyes came in, it's just like Trevor Story was able to just take the scene and the home run power, the stolen base that he's shown in the minors. We only got about 30 seconds or so. What do you project for him? Do you think that he can hit 40 to 45 home runs? Obviously, playing at Coors helps.
Yeah, I think it helps a lot. I think 40 is kind of the high mark, but he was second to Yelich in average fly ball distance, and he hits a lot more fly balls, and he hits in a much better park. So he's on the perfect path, hitting a lot of fly balls, hitting them far in that park. You know, if he stays healthy, I'm comfortable projecting 35, and I'm fine with projecting close to 40 home runs for him.
All right. Thank you so much, Fred. We really appreciate your time. Hopefully we can do this again sometime before baseball season starts. I encourage everyone to follow you on Twitter and check out your work on MLB.com. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend, Fred.
Yeah, you too. Anytime.
All right, take care. That's Fred Zinke right there from MLB.com, the lead fantasy writer. It's a really intriguing article. Honestly, check it out. He talks about a whole lot more players than we really got to. You always want that edge on your opponent. And also, Mark Trumbo, go and draft this guy if you want some cheap power. Shout out to Colomina for eSports. If you're playing, good luck. I'm Chris Meaney. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week.